This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Well, hey, you may already be familiar with certain tools that some people use to help understand themselves and to understand other people maybe that they work with or other people in their family that they're dealing with. You know, some of the things like the Myers-Briggs profile or DISC from a communication perspective. And, you know, lots of people use these and they're ways for us to help know ourselves better and know the other people that we're working with or dealing with so that we can actually relate better. Well, today I'm talking to Stephanie Elias about another one called Human Design. And this is another way for us to help get to know ourselves better. It's something I don't know a whole lot about myself, so I'm excited to jump in and talk with Stephanie today. So if you want to get to know yourself better, make sure and whatever you do, listen to this entire episode and see if human design is something that resonates with you. So with that, let's roll that episode.
Hi, I'm Jason Mefford, and you're in the right place to start transforming your career and life with this podcast. I've been in the trenches as an executive leader, and now I'm an executive coach and confidential advisor to executives all over the world. I use a multidisciplinary approach to improve learning that drives transformation by getting to the root cause in a practical, no-nonsense way. I love learning and sharing what makes people tick. You get both education and entertainment, since learning shouldn't be boring, right? But that's enough about me. This podcast is a combination of intuitive leadership, neural influence, and mental mastery to take your career and life to levels you've never thought possible. If you're wanting to improve yourself, develop stronger relationships professionally and personally, make quicker, better decisions, and become a more effective leader, then of course, this podcast is for you. Because you are going to learn how to manage emotions in yourself and others, avoid burnout, stress, and anxiety, master your mind, get people to listen and take action, and become a lifelong learner. And when you do that, you will have a positive mental attitude, executive leadership presence, and the skills to know exactly what to say and do in any situation. I'm glad you're here. So let's get started.
All right, Stephanie, well, welcome. How are you today?
Thank you for having me. I'm very well. Thanks, Jason.
You know, it's this is one of those, I'm excited for this discussion because I'm a curious learner. I always like to learn new things. And I know I've heard a little bit in kind of the fringes about human design. So I'm excited to learn more about what that actually is and to kind of hear your story because, you know, I know that it's made a big impact in your life and want to see, you know, how it can maybe make a big impact in my life or life of other people who are listening as well. So maybe just to start off with, give us all a little context as to, you know, what was going on in your life, and then you found this thing called human design. What is it, and how it's actually helped you?
Sure. So I discovered human design, I'm going to say it's like 6 or 8 months ago, and I'd seen it, you know, online here and there, but I never really looked into it. And when I finally did, I was amazed and astounded. And I felt very seen and heard and validated because There's five different types in human design, and I'm one of the types that's less rare. So I felt like someone was telling me all about myself, but this person didn't know me. So that's what it was like for me.
Well, so it's interesting because you say you felt seen, heard, and validated, right? And I know, you know, for myself, lots of other people I've talked to, a lot of times we feel like people don't get me. I'm weird. I'm different. I'm whatever it is, right? There's something wrong with me because I'm not like everybody else, right? So that's kind of how it sounds like you were kind of feeling, right? But this helped you. How did this help you feel seen and heard and validated more?
Well, I went very deep into my own type, and I discovered like unconscious things that when it was brought to my awareness, then it resonated. So it's like I learned so much about myself that I didn't even know. I don't know if that answers the question clearly.
Well, so I guess then maybe by learning more about yourself and having it resonate, it made you feel more comfortable being yourself and that it was okay to be who you were. And is that kind of where you're going with that? Or
yeah, and to realize like my own uniqueness and that it's safe and that it's okay to be authentic, to be weird, right? Just to do me. And in realizing that, you realize that every other single soul on the planet is exactly created in that same unique way. And it helps when you can see that you yourself are that way. It helps your relationships with your family and your friends and your coworkers and your enemies and anyone, because you realize that they are also designed in this unique way. And that's sometimes where like problems can come up in relationships because there's friction, right? Because we're different.
Well, and we want the other person to be like us, right? Instead of celebrating their own uniqueness and allowing them to be themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I think that's where a lot of the friction comes in most of our relationships, right?
Right. And I realize that our relationships are like a playing field for growth, for evolution, when we can see the uniqueness of everyone. Well, it just makes more peace in your heart, in your life, in your relationships, and so much more expansion.
Yeah. Well, and so let's talk a little bit about this, because I know, again, you know, a lot of people probably aren't familiar with this, right? So in the business world, I used Myers-Briggs, DISC, you know, some of these different kind of profiling tools, if you will, right? So you know, if somebody's kind of familiar with those, right, you kind of answer some questions, you do some different things, and then you kind of get a report, right, that shows you what your type is, right? And I think that's a term that human design uses as well, right? Is type.
Yes.
So when we're using that term, folks, you'll know what that means, right? Is your type. So like for Myers-Briggs, I'm an INTJ, which is a rare thing, which again, probably kind of like you, you know, when I found that out, I'm like, huh, only a few percentage points of the people are this, right? So yeah, that's why I'm a little different than most people, right? But as I would go through and I read the information about what an INTJ was, it resonated with me. And it's like, oh, that's why I do those things. That's why I'm this way. That's why I'm a contrarian sometimes, right? And why I'm a little bit of a rebel is because I just think different, or I am a little different, right? So how does the, you know, just so people can kind of get a context if they've gone through one of those other ones, what do you do in human design? Is it the same kind of thing, or how does that work for you to be able to find out what your type is?
So human design is not a test that you take. It is, human design is like an energetic map of you. It's where the sun and the earth and the moon and the planets were located at the time you were born, and 88 degrees before you were born. And it takes those two energetic snapshots and it overlays them, and it gives you your body graph. So there's the unconscious, which is the 88 days or the 88 degrees before you were born. And then the conscious is the snapshot of like the universe, the planets, at the time that you were born. And so like, it's not a test that you take. It just is.
Okay. So you would get information about where you're born, time, date, things like that. And so it's really kind of a melding. You know, I talked about the Myers-Briggs disc, right? This is more kind of like an astrology sign, if you will, right? So other people, you know, people are probably familiar with horoscopes, the astrological signs as well, right? So if you're already kind of familiar with that, this, it sounds like, goes into a lot more depth than just what a horoscope might, right? Is that
right? Yes. Human design is, it combines several systems. It uses astrology, it uses the tree of life, it uses the I Ching, and it also uses the chakra system, and it takes all of that together
to be able to give you a better picture of what's going on now. Right. So again, some people might, I mean, I know about astrology. I don't talk a lot about it on this podcast, but let's just talk about it too, right? Because, you know, again, sometimes people are, they'll look at it and they'll go, oh, that's just, right? I don't believe in astrology. Well, you know, the same thing for me when I read the characteristics or the things about an INTJ on Myers-Briggs, when I do the same thing for my astrology sign, which happens to be Leo, I'm a Leo. Mm-hmm. And when I read information about Leos, damn, it's spot on. Like of who I am, right? And who I feel like I am. And so I'm sure, you know, people that have been listening, at some point you probably kind of, you know, poked your head in a little bit or read the horoscopes on Sunday, right? And you can probably relate or identify with some of those things. It's the same kind of a thing with this, right? I mean, as you were describing feeling like you were seen, heard, and validated, when you kind of read the information about your particular type, I'm guessing that's kind of what you meant too, right? Like it was just resonating with you, like, oh yeah, that's who I am.
And you can feel it like in every cell of your body. Like, this is me. This is my being. Right? It's energy. It's all energy. Everything's energy.
Yes, everything is energy and everything has energy, but that's a topic for another podcast, right? So it's interesting. So maybe, you know, again, just, you know, explain how do you do this? I mean, if somebody's interested in human design, how do they go about it? You know, because some of these other ones, again, like you take a test or you buy a book or you do something like that. How would you do this with human design?
There's different sites you can go to. I use geneticmatrix.com, and you can get your free profile and you can see your body graph. And unless you know human design, you probably won't have much of a clue about what it means, because it has centers and it has gates and channels and it's got all the planets listed, and it's super, super interesting, and it goes very much in depth, and it can also look really confusing. So you can find a lot of free information on the internet, and there's also a lot of like human design guides out there. And you can get like a human design reading.
Okay. So, and I know, you know, because again, to kind of tie in like with the astrology thing, I know that that's been a thing, right? I mean, I know different astrologers, and that's what they do, right? They take a look at your charts, and then they kind of read or look at, you know, based on information about you, information about some of these other things that they're looking at, to kind of help do things like predict, you know, what might transpire for you this next year, as an example, right? And I know, again, as I'm talking about this, some people are going to be like, that's just bullshit. Well, I'll tell you folks, on one of my other podcasts, I interviewed an astrologer a few times. This woman, like to the month, you know, knew when the Berlin Wall was going to come down, right? And just stuff that you would not even think about, right? So, you know, if you're a little skeptical, just try it out. See if it resonates for you, because that's what I like to tell people is, you know, who knows? It might work for you. It might not work for you. But the only way you're going to know is if you try it. If you try it and you like it and it's helpful, then there's no harm in that, right?
Right.
So, you know, with that, I mean, let's, you know, to kind of see how it really kind of impacted you. What did you learn about yourself, right, that has been helpful? Because, you know, because I'm sure you've probably done some of these other things too, but what was it about this, or what did you learn about yourself that really kind of helped pull this together for you?
Yeah, so there's like when you're talking about like Myers-Briggs or other like personality tests, you have big like there's different groupings within that, right? Or different types. In human design, you also have different types, but like within the type, you have your own unique profile that is unlike anyone else's. Right. So it's extremely individualized and unique and specific for you. And so, yeah, it really served me in a way. It made me feel like me and my life and my purpose is really needed. Because no one else on the planet has the same energy that I do. No one else has the exact same shadows and gifts that I have. And for me, a lot of the times I used to feel, and I still do sometimes, that, you know, there's so many wonderful people on the planet. There's so many books, podcasts, courses. There's so many words, there's so much noise. It's like, do I really need to add to that? It's like, do I have anything unique of value that I can actually give to the world? And human design showed me that yes, I do. And yes, everyone does. There's no one that doesn't have something, the gifts, doesn't have a gift or doesn't have value or doesn't have something unique to bring to the world. And for me, that was huge. And when one person doesn't bring their gifts to the world, there's a hole there. There's a void. There's something missing. There's something in the big picture that could be a blessing to someone, that could help someone, that could encourage someone, that's not going to happen if you don't use your gifts and bring your gifts to the world. Because in the big picture, there's a puzzle, and we're all a piece, and we're all needed, and we all fit.
And we fit together perfectly, right? That, because as you're talking there, you know, again, I think that's some things that people need to hear, right? Because I think sometimes we, you know, it's interesting that you bring up about how, even though, yes, there are types, it really is more about the uniqueness of you. Because I think so much of the time, and like you said, even, you know, I'm familiar with Myers-Briggs, a lot of people listening might be, so I'll just use that as an example, mm-hmm. right? Four different letter combinations that make up 16 different types, right? If you will, and everybody gets placed in a box. And so, you know, you might go through and read that, or you might read something like your zodiac sign. And it's like, you know, about 50 to 75% of that really sounds like me, but I'm not so sure about the rest of it, right? And so, you know, there's this whole idea of we shouldn't put people in boxes. We shouldn't put ourselves in boxes necessarily, right? And I remember one of the guys that I used to work with, he told me one time with his grandson, well, it was his son, or if it was son or grandson, I can't remember. Mixed race couple, mixed race children. And I remember him telling me, you know, what he would always tell his kids is, don't ever let somebody put you in a box. Right? Because so much of life, we want to get put in a box. You know, you take something like race that really doesn't matter. But on how many government forms do you have to mark? I'm white, non-Hispanic, or I am, you know, East Islander, or I am whatever, right? So much of life is trying to put us all in a box in this order. But damn it, I'm not a box. Right? You're not a box. Nobody's a box, right?
Right.
And or the other thing where, you know, people try to put us in those boxes, or they try to make us conform.
Yeah.
Right. That unless you're like all the other kids, there's something wrong with you. You know, you're nodding your head. I felt that as a kid. Hell, I still feel that as an adult. Okay. Because I'm not like all the other kids. And so that message that you were just sharing too is, it's okay to be unique. It's okay to be weird. It's okay to be quirky. Because without all of us being who we are and bringing our own unique experiences and perspective and everything else together, it ain't a pretty picture in the world, right? I mean, imagine if you were trying to paint a painting, but you could only use red paint.
Mm-hmm. Boring.
Boring. And the same shade of red, mind you, exactly. Right? You just have a canvas full of the same paint. And so it's all of that difference, uniqueness that actually adds to the overall experience as well.
Yes. In human design, we call it conditioning. The, you know, everyone's painted with the same color, put in a box, labeled, organized, you know, it's like, because we understand boxes. We can label things, and then it feels like that's where it belongs, and it's safe, right? Because we're afraid of things that we don't understand. And human design has helped me to, well, your body graph shows you where your strengths are, where your gifts are, and where your potential for conditioning lies too. And it's a very, very powerful system. And it is a system, but it is not a box. It is not a box for anyone.
Well, and I'm sure, you know, again, you've said how it helped you, right, to be able to understand yourself better. Mm-hmm. But how has it helped you, I guess, as well to understand other people or maybe be more compassionate for other people as well?
Absolutely. Yes. I've ran all my kids' charts and I've done, readings for other people. And yeah, then you can see where they're coming from. You can see their energy. You can see their strengths and their gifts and where you might struggle. And another really cool thing you can do with human design is you can do a relationship chart. So you can like overlay one chart on top of another and you can see where the potential strengths are and also the weaknesses. And so that you just so that you're aware of it and then you can allow, accept, and embrace. Because that is the path to freedom, to peace. No one needs fixing. We just need accepting of each other and ourselves.
I'm just writing that down. I'm a note taker. Nobody needs fixing. We need acceptance. That's a great quote.
Honestly, in my opinion, only love and accept others as much as we love and accept ourselves. And when we do it for ourselves, that energy, like it radiates out and it affects other people. There'll be a ripple effect, whether you realize it or not. Because us being authentic gives other people permission to be authentic.
And most of us are afraid to be authentic, right?
Yes, we are.
Until someone else around us has the courage to actually show us and let us know that it's okay.
Right. And it's very okay. It's more than okay. It's absolutely necessary for happiness.
Well, and I think it's interesting because it's, you know, one of the things that I talk about a lot of times with people who are leaders, right, is fix yourself, right? Quit trying to fix everybody else, you know, fix yourself, be yourself. And when you do that, right, then your world around you changes. And I think that's pretty much what you're saying here too, right, is that I think so much of the time we're trying to fix other people. Mm-hmm. We want to fix other people, right? And instead, we need to be fixing ourselves. And then other things end up changing. But that's an area where it's scary for most of us to go, right? Is this whole idea of self-worth, self-love, that we're scared to go there.
Yeah.
But it sounds like going through this process has helped you even to be able to accept and love yourself more too by actually understanding and embracing who you are.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And something that's related, something that's born out of human design, it's a totally different system. It's called Gene Keys, and it's based on the I Ching. And that is something that has helped me just as much, or maybe even more than human design. But it goes very deep. And like we were talking about how we're all trying to, change other people or fix other people. And when we transform ourselves on the inside, you can transform a relationship just by changing yourself, by healing your own inner wounds, you know, your trauma, and the trauma that might not even be yours, that might be ancestral, but by owning it, you can heal it. And then you will automatically heal your relationships. It can't not happen.
Well, it's interesting because relationships are one that so many people struggle with, right? And so much of the time, right, we're, you know, I saw this through my divorce. Mm-hmm. You know, my ex-wife expected me to be a different person and wanted me to be a different person, right? Or as I was changing and growing and developing as an adult, well, I wasn't the same guy that she married. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, no shit, honey. I mean, you know, you can't live life and be exactly the same person the whole time, right? Mm-hmm. And so much of the time when we're having relationship problems, we want to change the other person, or we're hoping, or we're cajoling or arguing or fighting to get the other person to be different, be the kind of person we want them to be, when instead it sounds like we should be focusing on ourselves, right? Healing those things, doing those kind of things, and then the relationship takes care of itself. Is that what I'm kind of hearing you say?
Either the other person will respond to how you are changing on the inside, healing your wounds, and like stepping into your own unique self, like your own power. And they will either respond to that and change, or they'll leave. It has to be one of the two.
Yeah. So the relationship sorts itself out one way or another, right?
Right. But and yet, usually I think that when they, if you are healing your own self and you are truly loving yourself and loving them and not being attached to the outcome, if the relationship ends, it will be peaceful. It won't be, you know, a ton of drama. It's a very calm and peaceful way to live, you know?
Well, and I think it's, you know, again, as you were talking about this, it's part of, you know, again, you can learn a lot by doing this about yourself, mm-hmm. but it's also some other lessons, even if you don't go through and do this, right? If you don't go take, you know, do the human design and get your chart and find out your type and all that kind of stuff, the stuff we're talking about is still what you need to hear, whether you do it or not, right? About kind of the self-acceptance and the self-love, working on ourself, you know, making ourself better, mm-hmm. because as we change, the world around us changes. And also about being more compassionate for other people. I was listening to a training, we're in one of the same programs together, and I was watching one of the videos from that, and the point that came up, you know, that everybody in the world is doing the best they know how, mm-hmm. with what they have. And how true is that, right? And doesn't that mean that we should have that much more compassion for everybody and celebrate everybody's uniqueness?
Yeah.
Right. Because like you said at the beginning, right, is we all have a special purpose to play. Mm-hmm. And if we don't play that, then that color of paint never makes it on the painting. Right. And that one thing, because I remember it just reminded me of a movie that I watched. It was about Turner. He was an artist in England in the 1800s, very famous painter. And I remember one scene where he'd painted, it's a very famous painting of, you know, there's a boat out in this lake. And he goes up, you know, all of his work is hung up in the exposition, whatever you call it, right? And people are going around critiquing it. And all of a sudden he walks up and he's got a paintbrush in his hand. And the painting's done, right? It's hanging on the wall. And he walks up and he looks at it, pulls out his paintbrush and he goes, and he does one little daub of like this orangish red color. And it was a very muted color painting, right? Grays, browns, things like that. One pop of color at the end. And everybody looked at him like, what the hell are you doing, man? You know, you don't do this when you're exhibiting the stuff, right? But how many of us might be that little pop of color that if we don't show up, if we aren't who we are authentically, that daub of paint never makes it on the painting. And now when I see that painting by Turner, what am I drawn to? That thing, right? And everybody at the time was saying, oh, you're crazy, you just ruined the painting. And he didn't ruin the painting, did he?
But he if just we made it
yeah, and if we don't show up and be who we are authentically, right, and allow other people around us to be that way as well, we could be missing out on the same kind of thing.
Yep. There's a great change happening in the world. It's already starting. And there's going to be a lot of like big shifts in our emotional solar plexus. And we're going to be very gradually over years and years and years, like leaving behind this institutionalized type of society that we have right now. And it's going to be more like heaven on earth. You know, when people love themselves and when they love others, there's not going to be the strife and the conflict and the wars and the poverty. How can there be?
Yeah.
Right? And that's something that, I don't know, I felt that for a long time. And in my journey of human design and also the gene keys, it's been confirmed, or like I can feel it in every cell of my being.
Well, and in my opinion, it's about time as well, right? Because I know, you know, like we talked about earlier on, I felt this way, you felt this way. A lot of people out there feel like I'm different, I'm weird, I don't fit in, nobody's going to accept me if I am that way. And there's been so many things that have happened, especially in the last few years, right, that's making it much more acceptable for people to publicly admit who they are, what they do. And again, I'm just using an analogy here. It's not the end all be all, but you know, if you take, for example, people's sexuality, mm-hmm. for a long time, you never talked about that publicly because it was not allowed, right? If you were, you know, in a homosexual relationship, that had to be hidden because literally still some places of the world, you can die if people find out about that. But over time, there's become a much more growing acceptance of it, right? And the fact of, you know, if you're homosexual male, if you're lesbian, now, you know, bisexual, queer, you know, whatever different terms or non-binary, right? If people from a gender perspective, if that's how they choose to identify themselves, it's becoming more okay for all of us to admit who we really are underneath, right? And it's a beautiful thing because, you know, again, it puts fear in the institutions because they want to put us in a box. They want to have a factory line, like an old, you know, think about like an old, you know, industrial factory, but that's not who we are. And it's becoming more and more accepted, and it's what we're going to be living with, right? So we have to learn how to connect and relate to other people, use their unique gifts, right, to our benefit. Because a lot of times people that we think, right, might not fit in the box are exactly the people that we need. And I think I've shared on the podcast before about Temple Grandin, you know, autistic woman, one of the most brilliant minds in the world. And what she has been able to accomplish in her push, you know, for autism and other stuff to be recognized as, look, we're not disabled. We're not weird. We just have different gifts and we can see the world in a different way than most people can. And the fact that I can see the world in a different way means that I can make suggestions and improvements, right? And that woman has, from an animal cruelty standpoint and, you know, slaughterhouses, because I used to work for a company that we had slaughterhouses, you know, to make the pain and suffering of the animal less at the end, while still accomplishing the bigger thing, right? And there's so much of that that's out there, but if we are not willing to show up and be that speck of paint mm-hmm. on the painting, it's never going to happen.
Right. And there is no one right way to view anything, to do anything, to think anything. How you see something, how you view something, how you think about something, that's correct. And someone else is going to have a different perspective, and that's correct too.
Yeah, because in our own interpretations, we're correct, but we have different interpretations, right?
Right. But that's just allowing and accepting and embracing like your own views, your own interpretations, and everyone else's too, and just allowing it. There's so much peace and so much freedom and ease that comes from that. You know, you just focus on yourself, focus on your journey and how you can, you know, be a blessing to others and serve others and help others along the ways, but not trying to change them into what you think they should be. Like, who am I to think that I should know even what my kids should be? They're their own unique divine being. How do I know what's meant for them? What's best for them? Everyone knows. Like in your soul, you know who you are. And you know what's right for you. And you know what your purpose is. Or you can find it, you know, in human design or in the gene keys or maybe in other ways. But it's all there inside of you, all the answers are inside of us already. One thing that human design shows you is your inner authority, and that's how you make decisions that are aligned and correct for you, so that you never need to wonder or worry or logically try to think through what should I decide. You already know inside your body. It's a tremendous, tremendous gift.
Well, and the more that we get in touch with that, I mean, again, some people use the word intuition, right? That mm-hmm. goes along with that. But the more the more we learn how that works and tap into that, the less we have to be in our head.
Yeah.
And the quicker we're able to make decisions, right? Instead of, you know, a lot of people I work with, they want to create a spreadsheet and T columns and all these different things and spend 2 to 4 weeks trying to make a decision that they already know before they even go through the whole process, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I'm hearing you say is the more we can kind of tap into that, understand how we make decisions and just allow ourselves to make the decision the way we've been programmed instead of trying to do it the way other people would tell us we're supposed to do it, we can also make quicker and better decisions as well.
Yes. And on one side, yes, you can make a decision that's correct for you at that time. But on the other hand, you can't really make a wrong decision. Like even because there's no mistakes, it's either going to be the correct decision for you where you'll have the, you know, the successful outcome that you want, or it'll be a lesson. You know, there's no mistakes, there's no wrong decisions, there's no do you know what I mean? How it gives you that freedom, it gives you that ease that you don't have to worry, you don't have to stress. But at the same, but on the other hand, if you know your inner authority, then you can much more easily have more outcomes that are what you're looking for.
And maybe more outcomes that are quicker because we're not, again, there's no right or wrong decision. If we decide and it doesn't serve us, we make a different decision.
Right.
But sometimes we have to make a lot of those decisions to get us maybe where we could have gotten quicker if we had just relied on that internal guidance system.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And there's 7 different inner authorities in human design, and the mind is not one of them.
Yeah.
At all.
Well, because most of those decisions don't come from the brain. They come from the heart or the gut.
Yeah. They come from our body, like our body knows. Not our mind. So tuning into our bodies and getting out of our heads it's very, very powerful. Something that I have learned, and I'm sure I will, and I will practice it the rest of my life.
Yeah, and continue to. Mm-hmm. All right, Stephanie, this has been a very enlightening and learning conversation for me. I learned a lot. I've taken a whole bunch of notes here. So now I got to go actually do this and figure out what my type is and my uniqueness and get to know myself better, right? So that I can relate with other people better and really provide my own uniqueness to the world to be able to help in painting that big picture that we're all painting, and we're all putting little bits of ourselves into the overall totality of the human experience.
Yes, we're all needed. Everyone has their own unique gifts that they bring, and without them, it's just not the same.
Great stuff. Well, you know, I know, you know, you've been into this now for a little while, and I think you help people kind of read through and understand, because I know I've seen some of the graphics and it's like, I have no idea what that means. It looks a little confusing to me. That's one of the things that you do help people with. So, if people, as they're listening to this, are like, man, I want to get to know that lady. How's the best way for people to reach out to you if they want to?
They can find me on Facebook, just send me a message, and also Instagram, and I'm also on LinkedIn.
Okay. So either Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, you can find her. And yeah, like I said, thank you for coming on. Cause I was the same thing. I was probably where you were a year ago. I've heard about some of the stuff. I kind of keep seeing it in the periphery.
Yep.
But you know, one of the other things that I try to do is once I hear the same thing 2, 3, 4 times, I try to listen, right? Like if 3 or 4 people are recommending the same book within like a week, I better go buy the book and read it, because it's something that I need to hear. Right. And this is one of those topics, I think, for me too, that is something I'm supposed to do now. So any final thoughts that you'd like to leave with people as well before we wrap up here?
Can I read a little bit something from a book? It's about the 8th gene key, which is transitioning, I believe, through the earth right now, and it's going to be in the full moon tomorrow and the partial lunar eclipse. And the 8th gene key is about, it's the shadow of mediocrity. And inside that shadow lies the gift of style, which you were alluding to earlier. You were talking about, you know, how you felt different or weird and a little bit rebellious because you don't fit in a box. And that's exactly what this gift is all about. And the 8th gift is the gift of style, and true style is always rebellious. It's rebellious because it's always recreating itself. It isn't afraid of the mundane material plane, and it isn't in reaction to it either. This is a state that's always exploring new paradigms, that's always expanding out of its boundaries into new areas. These are people who aren't afraid of trying new things. They're not afraid of constantly redefining themselves. Their competence derives from their lack of a fixed self-image. They can be a plumber one moment and a pirate the next. The 8th gift has no investment in its own image. It's the process in which self-image is being short-circuited. The moment we surrender to life, we surrender to a dance that's so mysterious, we can never follow it with our mind. That's from a book by Richard Rudd. It's called The 64 Ways.
Thank you.
Welcome.
As you read that, there were certain things that stuck out to me in particular, which is, I'm sure, why you felt like we needed to read that right now.
I felt that.
I appreciate you coming on and talking about this, because, you know, again, everybody that's been listening, go back and listen to this again. You know, it's one of those where I tell you a lot. What we're talking about is not what we're talking about. Yep. What you think we're talking about, but it's not really what we're talking about if you're really paying attention. So, you know, yeah, go back, get to know yourself better, treat yourself better, give yourself more compassion, show more compassion to other people around you. The world is changing and it's going in a certain direction. You can choose to jump on board or you can keep fighting it, but it's maybe time for you to start jumping on board instead of trying to fight it. Because, you know, again, kind of the picture that you painted there, boy, we're using that analogy a lot today, of what the future will be is fabulous. And it is what I think people want. And, you know, for that change to happen, it takes all of us to do our little piece, right? How you change the world is one person at a time. And you change yourself, you change the world around you, right? So there's the bigger key to everything as well. So Thank you for sharing with us today.
Thank you for allowing me. I'm honored.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for listening to today's episode of Jamming with Jason. Keep on rocking in the audit world. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share with your friends and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Connect with me on LinkedIn and let me know what you enjoyed the most about the podcast, and you may even be featured on a future episode. When you're ready to turbocharge your leadership development, join the Briefing Leadership Program, where you get access to everything in one place and can interact directly with me in the group. If you'd like to earn continuing professional education for listening to today's episode, head on over to C-Risk Academy's video on-demand learning platform at ondemand.criskacademy.com. Not only do you get a CPE certificate, but you will also have access to hundreds of video on-demand learning opportunities. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are that of the individuals and not of their respective organizations.